seems to say Reuben Lerhorig has seen it.
So it's two against two, so you don't know whom to believe?
That's a stalemate. Two witnesses, Hakosha. Two witnesses say Reuben owes Shimon $100. And two witnesses say it's not true. Reuben does not owe Shimon $100. We were there and he never borrowed the money. So you don't know what to do. And here there's an exception to the rule. The two witnesses tell the story. And another two witnesses contradict him and they say, we don't know whether the story happened or not, but you have no ability, you are not in a position to testify because you were with us in a different location on that day. You say that this might have happened, that Reuben was Mechal Shabbos in Miami on Shabbos Parshas Yisro. You weren't even in Miami, you were in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos Parshas Yisro. How can you testify? So the Torah is Mechadish in such a case that the second pair of witnesses are believed against the first pair. We don't consider it tray or tray. We should have treated it like any case of two witnesses contradicting two witnesses. So it's a verifakosuf. It's a chiddush. In this case, when the second pair of witnesses contradict the first pair by saying Imanu Hayisim and Malkum Pliny, you were with us in a different location, so you don't know anything about this case. It could be that it's true, could be that Reuben did kill Shimon, but you have no right to testify. So the Torah is Mechadish in that case, number one, that the second witnesses are believed against the first. Number two, the first are assumed to be liars and their pasul aedus. And number three, that we punish the first pair of witnesses, Asisim Loi, Kashizomam Latis Liom. So what kind of a punishment do we give them? If the first pair of witnesses wanted to mete out a death penalty to somebody based on their false testimony, so we give them the Einish Mishnah. We punish them. If the first pair of witnesses said that Reuven ate Chazer and he deserves Malkus, and then we are mazim them, and it turns out that we assume they're lying, so we give them Malkus. They were trying to give Malkus to this poor guy Reuven, so we give them Malkus. If they were trying to say that Reuben should pay Shimon $100, so we punish them. And between the two of the witnesses, or between the three, however many witnesses there were, to join together to give this false testimony, so we make them pay the $100 to Reuben. They were going to make him pay $100 to Shimon, so we make each one of them pay, let's say the three witnesses, each one pays $33.33, and it adds up to $100. They pay together. By Malkus, we don't say that we give him half Malkus and half Malkus. By Miso, we also don't say we give each one of the witnesses who told a lie the full Einish Miso and the full Einish Malkus. But by Mammon, we divide it, right? That's the Mishnah later. So the first Mishnah starts off with the exception to the rule. Instead of giving you the rule and the Pusik and the Din and the Mucker, the Torah Shabbat Pei starts with the exception to the rule, like when we learn Gittin. It starts that's based on a diuk of a din deraisip, a side point. The Torah Shabbat is not written, the Rambam wrote everything in a logical order. Rambam starts in the Chumash and then he develops and he goes down. And the Mishnah was at a time that they were trying to retain the whole Torah Shabbat Balteh orally. They were reciting these Mishnahs orally, so they had to come with the chidushim, with the exceptions to the rule. The rule states Mechumis, but the Mishnah starts off with the exception to the rule. That there are four cases where you don't give the punishment of Kasha Zamam to the witnesses. So the Mishnah gives you two out of the four, and we learned that Bryce on the base gives the other two cases out of the four. So the Chumash says, when two witnesses come to court and you have to have Kabbalah say this, this may Bezin, and the Bezin accepts their testimony. And then we made a Gmar Din Lechi of Nisa. We decided that man is Chai Nisa based on the testimony of the witnesses. So we decided it's Chai Malkus. We made a Gmar Din is Chai Mammon. And then with Mazin, the second pair of witnesses come and they say, how can you testify? Imanu Hayisim, that's called Hazama. So then you give the punishment of Kasha Zama. So that's what we said last week. The Nesivis HaMishpat, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, Rosh Mishpat writes that the whole Parsha of Edom Zemimim only applies in an instance where the halacha requires two kosher witnesses who testify in front of Bezin. Let's say it's the case of Erechad Nemen B'Yisurim. A witness comes and he says, I have flesh in my refrigerator, I have chicken flesh and everything. Let's say I have flesh. So the Erechad comes and says, you know, you went to work today. I came into your house, the painter was there. Painter was there. I was watching. The painter took the flesh and he cooked it in milk, and he made it basa b'chol of derais. It tossed b'hanor, and then he washed off the milk and he put it back in the refrigerator. And I want you to know that it tossed b'hanor.
So there's a discussion in the Gemara whether the Eid Echad is Neman the Yisurim. And Eid Echad comes and he says, if it's chicken, that's why Meir was saying, if it's chicken with milk, it's only the Rabbanon, it's only Asa Bachila. It's Mutabana. But if it's Taka meat with milk and it's Asa Menatera, then it's Asa Bahano. So let's say there's a question whether the Eid Echad would be believed in such a case. A discussion in the Gemara gives. On the assumption the Eid Echad is Baglois, on the assumption the Eid Echad is believed to testify that my flesh is Asa Bahano, I have to throw it out. So let's say I throw it out. And then later on, they're mazim him. What kind of a shakran? He wasn't even in Washington Heights. He was in Florida. He came in the afternoon. And he tells me, I bought a meiser, that the painter in the morning, when they came to paint, and he walked in. The whole thing is not true. So would you have a din of asisim like hashizam and lasil yochid? The flesh was worth, let's say, $20 worth of flesh, and I threw it out. I can't even feed it to the dog, it's also about no. I can't even give it to the next door neighbor, the Goisha next door neighbor, or to the super. It's also about no. You can't get anor from it. If you give it to an acquaintance who's going to give you back a taiva, the super does taivas for me, so that's also getting hano. I'm getting something in exchange for it later on. So that's also a violation of Isiri hano. So let's say I threw out the flesh that was Osabano, and then later on it turns out it's Hazama. He wasn't even in New York at the time. So the whole thing is Shekhar v'Chazam. So the Ktsais HaChoshen raises the question. Ktsais HaChoshen has a commentary on the Choshmish, but the Ktsais and the Nesivas were contemporaries. So the Nesivas very often disagrees with the Ktsais. But with good cause, not Stam Gechet, with good cause. So the Ktzais writes Ashayla in such a case, maybe there should be a din of Asisim like Hashizam Amlasiv Yochid, maybe we should make the witness that Eid Echad pay the $20 that he was mafsid me based on his Eid Sheker if they were mazim him. So the Nesivah says, how can it be? The Alocha is Eid Echad Emin Bissum. Eid Echad doesn't need a Kabbalah Eidus Bistay Bezna, he doesn't have to be a Kosher Eidus. It could be my cousin, my brother, it can be a woman. Eid Echad doesn't require two kosher Eidim. The whole din of Asisim Lech, Hashizam Alasim Piochid appears in the Parsha in the context of Eidim, two kosher Eidim, coming to Bezdin and testifying in a Gemar Din. What kind of Gemar Din? There's no Gemar Din over here. The Eid Echad comes and he tells me, Chutz Le Bezdin, that my flesh is also by nos. I throw out the flesh. There's no Kabbalah Eidus, there's no Gemar Din, there's no Eidus, there's nothing. That's pretty tiny. So that's what we started to discuss, these four exceptions to the rule. There are four cases that the Mishnah has two, and the Brice adds on another two on Omid Beis, where there is no din of Asis Malak HaShizam Amlasis Liochiv. What is the case that there's no din of Asis Malak HaShizam Amlasis Liochiv? So we mentioned a little bit last week, that in Parshas Mishpatim, and last week said in Parshas Mishpatim, there are many halachas of paying moment. A shomer who's pasheya has to pay, and a mazik and a chayvul b'chaveira. My behemah is mazik you. My behemah, my kitten goes into your kitchen, and he drinks up a bowl of milk. So he says niske mamona, I have to pay all kinds of tashlumim. My shoramuad kills an eved tnaini, I have to pay shloshim shalevet. My shoramuad kills a free person, I have to pay kofer. So the Gemara divides all of the three chiyuv types of chiyuvim into three different categories. There's a chi of mammon, a chi of knas, and a chi of kapara. Chi of mammon is when I pay you because I'm responsible for your loss. Let's say you sold me merchandise, $1,000 worth of merchandise, so you're out $1,000. I have to pay you. Or you lend me $1,000. I have to pay you $1,000. I broke your window, it's worth $1,000. I have to pay you $1,000. I'm responsible for your losing $1,000. I broke it, my animal, I was negligent, I allowed my animal to damage. So that's mammon. Knas is when the payment that I make does not correspond to your loss. Let's say shloshim shalevet. If my shoram wood kills an eved knaini, I always pay shloshim shkolim, whether the eved knaini is worth more or worth less. I always pay shloshim shalevet, 30 shkolim. So it doesn't correspond to the value of the eved, so that's called knas. Or let's say a ganek, sometimes if he steals shor v'seh and he shechts it, or he sells it, so it's not enough that he pays Karen. He pays Kefil. He pays let's say the behemoth that he stole was worth $300, so he always pay Kefil. He pays $600. You don't stump pay back $300. So the $300 that you give back, that's Karen. Karen, that's Mammon. That's Mammon. But the extra $300, and sometimes you pay four times $300, sometimes you pay five times $300. So all of the extra that you're paying, that doesn't correspond to the hefsid that he has. So that's called Knas. So there are a lot of things that are knas. Einis mefaten moitishem shloshim shalevet chamishim of einis mefaten and so on. A lot of chiyuv makar. And then there's another category that's called kapara. If a Shoah Mu'at kills an Adam, a Ben Chayrin, so it says, Im Kaifa Yusha Salav, and Asim Pidya Nafshi, Kachalasha Yusha Salav, the Bala Shoah Mu'at has to pay Kaifa. And there are a few other chiyuvim that Taisis points out. This the Gemara points out that kufr kapara, paying kaifer, is not mammon, it's not knas, it's kapara, it's a different thing. Then Taisis points out there are a few other chiyuvim tashlumen that are also considered kapara. Odds and ends. If a non kayin eats truma b'shoygeg, he has to pay karam chaimish. So the added chaimish that you pay is for the kapara. And Taisis has another one or two cases, very rare, that a chiyuv tashlumen should be labeled as a kapara. Very rare. What's the difference halacha l'maaseh, whether it's kapara or whether it's mamon or knas? There are a few differences.
So
one of the differences that was relevant here is that there is a gemara in Bava Kamma that sounds very much like it says, and the Ravid writes explicitly that that's what it says in the gemara. And the Taisus also says that that's what it says. It sounds there is a gemara in Bava Kamma that says like this: when does the halacha require two kosher witnesses in a din Torah of dini mammon is to make me pay mammon? That's if it's mammon or knas. But if it's kapare, one witness comes and he says, my Shoah Mu'at killed an Adam. So that's like Eid Echad Nehman B'Yisurim, and Eid Echad comes and says, you have to shake a lulav. Eid Echad comes and says, you have to lay tefillin today. You didn't. I forgot, I don't remember. So Eid Echad says, you did not lay tefillin today. You were sleeping the whole day, you better lay tefillin. So Eid Echad is Nehman B'Yisurim. So if an Eid Echad comes and he tells me, my Shoah Mu'at killed an Adam, so it sounds from the Gemara in Bava Kamma that because paying kaifer is kapara, that's really bin Adam Lamokim, it's not really bin Adam Achaveira. I didn't tell it bin Adam Achaveira when you're paying
Mammon
or Knas. That's bin Adam Achaveira, so that's Dina Mammonis. So Dina Mammonis, you need two kosher Eidim. But a Dintera paying kaifer, that's an Ishkin Dintera, it's not bin Adam. That's a Shaila Mitzvah. A mitzvah la shamayim. He has to get a kapara. The way to get a kapara is by giving money to somebody. But it's not that you have a tviya against me on the mamonis. It's not between me and you. It's between ben adam lamokim, really. And the way for me to shake a lulav, the way for me to get my kapara is by paying money to you. But it's not that you have a tviya. I have an obligation to get a kapara. So the Rishonim say that that's what the Gemara said, and that's what the Gemara meant. That Eidechot is Nemon. By kapar, by kaifer.
But it's also the setback that doesn't set the kapar.
Yeah. Bezin has to determine how much.
Yeah. Kapar, right.
They have to determine how much, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's a question of bezin, how can it be the kapar?
Bezin has to make
knas?
A shuman. No,
why isn't it knas?
No, the Gemara says not a knas. The Mishnah says, if I admit amayon, hadoaz balbin.
Yeah, right.
So in mammon you say hadras baldin kamei raidim dami. I admit I owe you $1,000. I pay you the money. I admit that I robbed the bank. So the $1,000,000 that I robbed, I have to give back. The kefil that I owe, a second $1,000,000. Mean tam kefil, that's moed biknasas potter. I don't pay. So the mishnah in the end of the third parak in Ksubas, the last mishnah in Elun Iris, draws a contrast between shloshim shalevet and kofer. That if I admit on my own that my Shoah Mu'at killed an eved kanani, and I admit I have to pay Shloshim Shalevet, that's Moedi B'Knas's potter. Because Shloshim Shalevet is a Schum Katsuf, that's a Knas, because it doesn't correspond to the Hefzid. So then I'm not believed on my own. Moedi B'Knas is not Chai. But if I admit that my Shoah Mu'at killed an Adam, a free person, and you don't pay a fixed amount of money, and it's Kaifer and Kufer is Kaparo, so then the Mishnah says, Adam Neman Al Atzmo. It's not really the din of Haiduas Baldin, Snishkin Baldin. I'm not even a Baldin in paying kaifer. Yeah, it's a mitzvah. It's like I said, I didn't like filling yet today. I didn't dab myrid yet, so I got a dab myrid. So I'm saying I didn't get my kapara for the day. I have to pay kapara. It's not even a prina, it's not even a musav, it's not even an Indian of Haiduas Baldin. I'm not a Baldin. Baldin is when you have it in Odom Lachaveiro. So it's a confrontation between me and the other person whether I have to pay or not. Tviya. There's no tvias moment. He has no right to ask for anything. I'm admitting I have to do a mitzvah. Okay. So we say like that, then we understand very well. The Gemara says there were four cases. The Mishnah had two, and the Braisa added on another two. So one of those that was added on by the Braisa, we understand very well. The Gemara says, if the witnesses testify that I have to pay kofer, the first two witnesses, and then you're mazim them, then it turns out that they ate a sheker. So the din of asisim lakashizam amlasas lochiv does not apply. In such a case, you don't make the witnesses pay kofer. So the Gemara says, why not? Because paying kofer kufra is kapara. The Gemara says, since pain kaper is kapara, so it doesn't apply to the Eidim Zom. They need a kapara for giving Eid a sheker,
but
they
this.
Don't need a kapara for this. So the question is, so we don't, that's what we said last week, so we don't really understand. And let's say the witnesses testified that I murdered somebody and I deserve misaf sayit. Then it turns out that they are lying, and I never murdered anybody. So why do you give them sayif for attempted murder? Who was gehet kivan azadin that attempted murder gets sayif? Lock him up in jail for 50 years. But why do you give them sayif? Sayif, they don't need sayif. Sayif is only for a person who really murdered someone else or anything like that. Mechal Shabbos, they testify, I was mechal Shabbos, they're about to give me skila, and then with mazim, the witnesses, it's a lie. So then you give them the punishment of skila. Why skila? Skila is for the one who's mechal Shabbos. You can say the same thing on malchus. They testified that I deserve malchus, I ate chazer. So it turns out to a mazim, them they told a lie. So I didn't eat any chazer. So then, since they tried to give me malchus, so the Torah says you give them malchus. Say the same thing. How do they get malchus? Just for attempting to
lie,
give malchus? A bunch of lies. They need a kafara for telling a lie. But where does the malchus come? So you can undo the whole din of ashisim lakashazam and lasis lochem. What do you mean? Go for kapara, and they don't need a kapara. They don't need a kapara for this. So that's the whole din of ashisim lakashazam. So maybe the pshat is, that's where we stop. We didn't finish listening. Maybe that's the pshat in the Gemara. Kosova kufra kapara, since kufra kapara, so erechot is neman by kapara. That's the Gemara Baba Kama. There are 6, 7, 8 differences la'alocha between kapara and momen and knas on the other side. There's no kumblibi de rabbine, and there's no tashlum and lachamisa. Many, many more nafkaminas. So one of the nafkaminas from the Gemara seems to be that in the area of kapara, Eid Echod is believed. So the Nesidus gave a yisod, whenever Eid Echod is believed, and you don't need Shnei Edim Shem testifying in front of Bezin, then the whole parsha of Hazama doesn't apply. The whole parsha only applies in the, maybe that's what the Gemara meant to say.
But that's a song, he's saying it's not Tzvora, but really, what if he went, how does he know when he's Hagodas Eidim, something like that? That's what the Torah says, because there's Hazama. It's a Chiddush. In other words, where does he get to say a has a Yisrael to say not that way?
I mean, how does the Nesivus know him?
He says
there is a Gemara in Soita, in the first daf in Soita, where the Gemara says that whenever the word aid appears in Chumash, Ayin Dalet, it means two Aidim. So here it says, V'hinei aid sheker ha'aid, sheker ha'na b'yochad, v'sis malak ha'shazam l'aslach. So he says, since the word aid, unless it says aid echad, says Leokam Eid Echad Bish, Lachalav and Chalchat. The Gemara says, unless it says Eid Echad, it just says the word Eid, Chomokam Shanema Eid Stam, it means Shnayim. It means a minimum, a kat of Eidim, two witnesses. So he claims that since it says over here, Eid Sheker Ho Eid, and the Gemara gave us the Klal, so the Klal applies over here. It means you need two kosher Eidim who are testifying in front of Bezin. That's Tam Eid Echad. So that perhaps is the Pshat and this exception to the rule. Why the Eidim Zaymimim can never pay Kaifer? Because there's no Shnei Eidim on Kaifer. Eid Echad would have been good enough. There's no Gemar Din on Kaifer.
On whom is the onus to prove Zaymimius? As if you say, we use the concept of Zaymimim. Now, somebody who gave a wrong statement, he may have done it unintentionally. I was there.
Yeah.
So he made a statement. So
we confront him when we ask the first witnesses, what do you say? These people say you weren't there. So we
So he doesn't remember. So he made a mistake. Well, but yeah.
He has to do it intentionally.
Can it be by shogeg?
Even the shogeg, that's an interesting problem. The pasuk says that we punish the Edom. And the Rambam in Taisus, but the Rambam has a lashon in Hilchos Eidus, Ein la'edim zamim imshkoga. There's no such thing as b'shogeg. It gives a strange reason. And Taisus also writes
One has to be careful when he comes upon the Bezin. There is a chance that any wrong statement you make, you're considered zamim.
You're liable to be punished.
You're considered to be considered zamim.
And they interrogate.
You know what you're talking about.
Right. They always interrogate witnesses. They say, make sure you got this date straight and the place straight, because you may be punished. They warn you in advance. Yeah, they escalate.
Everything that you're saying, you are.
okay.
Obligation.
That's terrible.
But how does it exist?
Maybe call the man, but it's not
more of a chance.
Yeah, because Eris is having the hour and the day, and they both of them were in there. It's a very hard thing.
Right, we assume that if two people say the same,
it's more of a chance that they're not making a mistake.
Right.
Or they're
plotting to do it.
Okay, one or the other.
Right.
Okay. So again, the Mishnah gives two out of the four exceptions to the rule that there's no din of kashizan. So the first exception, we didn't start reading yet. So maybe we'll start the Masechta now. Ketzad ha'edim nasim zomimim. What is an example, starting off on the left leg? Strange. What is an example of zomim? There's a din of kasha zomim. There's an institution. They don't even give you the statement. And instead of saying how they, what is the later in the parak going to give you the din of how they have kasha zomim. Here's the exception to the how they're not kasha zomim. So the Mishnah says, what's an example? Ketzad means keizetzad. Sometimes in the Mishnah it's spelled out. There's two words, sometimes spelled as one word. Keizetzad. Chaf aleph yud zayin hey. Tzadik dalet. In what case? Keizetzad heidim nasim zayim. What's echetimtze? Where the eidim get punished kashizamam? So it gives you a case where they're not punished. For example, colon. Meidim anabish ploni. We testified that so and so. Shuhu ben Grusha or ben Chalutza, we say about a man who was assumed to be a Kohen. He gets the first Aliyah, he gets Pegina ben money, he benches first all the time. We always treat him with respect. He's a Kohen. And then the witnesses come and they testify. It's a bluff. He's really a Cholol. Either a Cholol deraisa or a Cholol derabbanan. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, that's an Isa deraisa. So the children are all Chololim. What's his Cholol? Cholol means empty space, empty vacuum. Right here, there's Cholol. This is empty space. The cholo means emptied out from Kedusha's kunim. He has no Kedusha's kunim. If it's a son, the sons that he has, achalolim, they're not allowed to duchen, they're not allowed to get the first aliyah. They can go to the cemetery, they can marry a grusha, they have empty, totally empty from Kedusha's kunim.
Is a cholo worse than a hegya?
He's a little better than a hegya. The din is, let's say, by mistake, a non-koyin is makriv karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. And then we catch it, we realize we made a mistake, he wasn't even a Kohen.
Azar.
Azar means a non-Kohen here. So if Azar does HaKrovos HaKarbonos, there's no good B'diyevet, you have to repeat all the Karbonos. But if a Cholol, B'diyevet, a Cholol, did Avaida, he was supposed to have been a Kohen by virtue of the fact that his father was a Kohen. But because the father married a Grusha, so that's why the son is a Cholol, so the Gemara lines out from a Pasuk, it's going to be in the second parakeet. Baruch Hashem Chela, B'diyevet, the Cholol Shavad is Avaidosek Shera. If he does HaKrovos HaKarbonos B'diyevet, it's good. What's the din if it, by mistake he took Pegina Ben money and then later on we discover that he was a Cholol? Do you say that din that B'diyevet D'Avodah is good, the Pasuk Baruch Hashem Chelo Ofol Yorav Tirtzeh, that goes on a Cholol She'avad, he did Avodah. But what about a Cholol who got Pegina Ben money? You say B'diyevet, it's also good. So that's a famous pupil from the part of the Jerov. That's one of the few Chidush HaTorah that was famous years ago. Now they're printing a Sefer soon of everything, all of the biography with the Chidush HaTorah, with the drushes of the Panei Jerov. But years ago, that was famous, that he had a whole shiur that it's a machlokes hatanaim. Kids, it boiled down. It's a machlokes hatanaim in the second parak. Where he say that the Yeved, the Cholol, functions as a kohen for all Dini HaTorah? Oh no, it's only a Din, but the Yeved, the Avodah is good. Avodah Beis HaMikdash is good, but the Yeved. For all other intents and purposes, a Cholol is Nishkin kohen. Even the Yeved is not. Not at all the same. Yeah. Okay.
Not only that.
The Gemara in the second parak has the
figure.
They has to do another thing. Yeah. The Gemara in the second parak has the following discussion. Second parak is about Golos. If somebody murdered, someone killed B'shogeg, someone driving a car in an accident. So he has to run away to the Ari Mikla. So he stays in the Ari Mikla until the Kohen Gadol dies. So the Gemara has a pilpul. What if they had a Kohen Gadol? He was there for years. And then someone killed B'shogeg and he runs to the Ari Mikla. Then we come to the realization, he was a Cholol. He was a Cholol. Kohen Gadol was a Cholol. So the Gemara has one opinion. Does he smase Kohen Gadol? That leg zayna Kohen Gadol, and we just kicked him out. Shine ois. About ois Kohen Gadol. That's called mase Kohen Gadol. That's called mase. Until now he was a Kohen Gadol because b'diyevet avodasek sheira. that the Eved, anything he does is good. Even the Avodah that he did on Yom Kippur is also good. The Avodah on Yom Kippur has to be a Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
How do you know a Cholol is good? A Cholol is good for Avodah.
Right.
Cholol is good for Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur also is good. So this Gemara says, yeah, until now he was a full-fledged Kohen Gadol, but the Eved, everything he did was good. And from now on, Ois Kohen Gadol, Das Heis Meis. Another opinion is, no, he never was anything, is nothing but nothing. It's all the mistake in the Retzech stays in the Ohr Nikla to Yarn Lavoid. There was no Kohen Gadol when he was sent to the Ohr Nikla. We thought there was a Kohen Gadol. We now realize there was no Kohen Gadol. So the part of the Jerav has a whole pilpul. He said, that's the Machlekes. And he shows it depends on the two sources, the two psukim. How do you know this din? The end of Kiddushin has two different psukim in Chumash. How do you know this din? That the Yevet, the Chol, who did Avodah, is Avodah Sukshev.
What about Dukhanim? Is that the same level as Avodah?
What's going to be the Nafkamina for Dukhanim? Dukhanim can't do anything about it. There's no issue.
You see,
if you brought Karbonis out of it, you have to bring them over again.
Yeah.
You did the Karbonis on Yom Kippur, and it's still Yom Kippur, and still Yom Kippur. You have a chance to do it over. So the Shadda, you have to do it over. Pidyat Ben, you do it over. You have to give back the money, but you do it over. What can you do about the Aliyah?
It couldn't be interpreted from the word hollow that he wrote the Kohen. But his kohuno had evaporated, like the hollow, the vacuum. It was drawn out by
the
action.
Vacuum.
That's the shot. Maybe there's always
a vacuum.
Vacuum. That's the shot.
No, but even there, but let's say there is. So then, he wore the kohen at one time. There was kohen. He had the kedusha of kohuno. So therefore, we accept him as a.
No, that's his filter.
Yes.
That's his filter from the part of the That's the. Yeah. He claims that's a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes amaron. How what?
Mitzvah.
Kohen Gadol becomes a Mitzvah, no.
A mace.
Is that also called mace, Kohen Gadol?
Only, it becomes a woman, is also a Rechush of Kamez.
No. The Gemara speaks about a special din, a Kohen Gadol Shein Etz Tareh. I don't know. I have to look in the Gemara. I don't know. Let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha. So all the children are Halolim, whether they're boys or the girls, they're all Halolim. If he has boys, so we understand what the relevance is that they're halalim. They cannot get the first aliyah. They get any aliyah you want. They can't duchen. They can be metamil mason. They can marry grusha. They have no din of kain at all. No din of kain whatsoever. Not lechumer, lekula, nothing. They're not a kain at all. What about the daughters? The daughters are halalis. What's the significance? A halala is not allowed to marry
a kain.
Halal is not allowed to marry a kain. Right.
Even if you marry his child, though, even if you marry his child, that the child needs to get a bed.
Also, okay, if a Kohanis marries the Israel, so the children will not need Pidyon HaBen. But if she's a Halala and she marries the Israel, the children will need Pidyon HaBen because she's not a Kohanis, or he's Kohanis.
What,
what about her? A Halala marries the Israel, and they have children. So the Gemara says that the children are not Samachloikis Hatanoim. In the last parak in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, we pass when the children are not halalim. How do you determine the status of a child in a mixed marriage? The father's a kohen, the mother's not. The father's a lady, the mother's not. Father from Shevet Zvulun, the mother from Shevet Yisocha. So the Gemara says, we determine by the father. It's all determined by the father. So the Gemara says, here too, the status of the children in a mixed marriage, if the father's a halal, so all the children are halalim. Let's say the kohen marries a grusha and he has sons. The sons are halalim. So whoever the halal is going to marry, the children are going to be halalim. Unless he marries a nachris, so the children are goyim. It's an undermiser. But if he marries any Jewish girl that he's going to marry, so all the children will be halalim because the father is a halal. So all of the sons,
the
all of his sons, and
the only way disappears through the girl. The only way the stigma disappears.
If the kohen who marries a grusha has a daughter, so the daughter's a halala, that she's not allowed to marry a kohen. But if she marries anybody she marries, unless she marries a halal, anybody she marries, so unless she marries a kohen, so a kohen is not allowed to marry a halala. So the children are halalim, because not allowed to marry, like you marry a grusha. But if she marries a Yisrael, so her daughter's allowed to marry a kohen. Yeah, her daughter's allowed to marry a kohen. Sometimes the Kohanim don't know. Sometimes the people don't know. These dinim are not well known. Anyway, so this is a din deraisa, that a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, is a din deraisa. So if he marries a grusha and he has children, the sons and the daughters, they'll all be halalim. A kohen is not permitted to marry a chalutza, that's only a din midirabbanan. Because chalutza looks a little bit like a grusha. That's a gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara proves from a Mishnah. Zos Ameris, from this Mishnah, you can infer that the Grusha is the Rais and Chalutza is only the Rabbanah. It's a Chiddush because the Gemara always puts together. Ben Grusha and Chalutza always put together. You get the mistaken impression as if just like this is the Rais, this is also the Rais. So it's not so. It's only the Rabbanah. It's interesting. Malkus. Yeah. In the third Perek, the third Perek lists off all the people who get Malkus. The following people who violated out there get Malkus. Person eats chaza, person does a malocha on yontif. So it says, a kohen marries a grusha v'chalutza. A kohen marries a grusha v'chalutza? The Taisa said that it's not accurate. The Taisa on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. A kohen marries a grusha, that's an aver deraisa, so you get malchus. A kohen marries a chalutza, it's only aver derabana. Most you can get is going to be malchus mardus, but you're not going to give malchus? Elohena loikin means malchus there, right? Yeah, Kiddushin or Tovson. A kohen marries a grusha, you need a get. If the kohen marries a grusha, you need a get.
The Mugen Kiddushin says that everybody knows that the chalutz is only the rabbonim. There's one discussion that the Mugen comes out like this.
Yeah. Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva in his sefer. They sent him a shaila from New York to Vilna. They used to send mail to Rav Chaim Moshe Vilna. They didn't give any address. Yeah, they just brought up Chaim Isaac Grajensky, Vilna, Poland. He used to get the mail. They knew there was the guy in Vilna, Poland, was only one of Chaim Isaac. So they sent a shaila from New York. There was a woman on the east side who was a grusha, and she was interested in remarrying. Whenever she'd go out on a date, so she would ask the fella if he's a kohen. He's a kohen, she doesn't want to marry him. So that killed half of the shidduchim. The other half, she wasn't interested, he wasn't interested, whatever. She took her a long time. She finally met a guy, and she said, I hope you're not a kohen. Every day, I hope you're not a kohen. Mishkan kohen, right? So she got married. So then, after a week after they got married, they were driving somewhere in a taxi on the east side. They lived on the east side. And then the chusin locha tells his kala that he is a kohen, that he nired her up because she was a nice girl and wanted to marry her. So, a week after they got married, one day he tells her he is a kohen. So she said, she's going to the Rav right now for a get. So they went together in a taxi to get a get. The taxi stopped for a red light, and the husband jumped out, and he disappeared, and she never saw him. No husband. So they sent a shadow to Rav Chaim Moshe. What's the din? The din is a kiddushin atopsin on a kohen with a grusha. But the kiddush atoyes. Every time she went out on a date with God, she said, I hope you're not a kohen. But under the chuppah, she didn't say, I hope you're not a kohen. Difficult is that, I mean, how many times you have to say? We know every time she went out with anybody, she said, I hope you're not a kohen. And that killed half of the shidduchim. So Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva about this. Should you consider it a kiddushei tois or not? So he's not prepared to say, he says she doesn't need a get. But he says, not prepared to say that she doesn't need a get because it's kiddushei tois. He says, look, if it takes us so long to find the shidduch, so maybe she'll compromise already. Maybe by the time she marched down the aisle to the chuppah, maybe she already decided not to be so religious. Maybe she decided she'll marry him even though he is a kohen. Since she didn't say under the chuppah, even though she said 100 times before, you wear down a person's resistance and they give up their religious principles. So maybe she's already prepared to compromise. He said she does need to get for a different reason. Yeah, but if it's not written, it's also good. It's not written, it's also good. It's interesting, in the days of the Tanoim, in the Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra, there's a pair of get poshut. Get means a star. Yeah. So the Mishnah in the end of Gittin talks about filling out a star. So it says you write the name, Reuven ben Yaakov, aid, whatever. Or Reuven ben Yaakov, the name of the man and woman, whatever. It doesn't say you write a kohen alevi. It says if there are two people in the village with the same name, then you have to distinguish if one is a kohen, one is not, then you write a kohen. Or you write Halevi, or you write the tall one, the short one, or you write the grandfather's name. If they have the same Reuven ben Yaakov, but one is Ben Yaakov ben Yitzchak, and one is Ben Moshe, so you write some siman, a nickname, something to identify if they're two with the same name. But if not two with the same name, a little village, and there are only 10 Yidden there, so in the days of the Mishnah, they didn't put a kohen v'halevi. It was only put in if you needed as a siman to distinguish between one and the other. Now, b'zmanazel, we always put in a kohen v'halevi. But if you left out a kohen v'halevi, that doesn't pass. That doesn't pass on anything. If it got, so garnished. So Rav Chaim is in his tshuva, he was mekel for a different reason. He says this chassan bacher was such a character. He was from the chevre on the east side. They used to have chevre years ago. They used to have dances on Yom Kippur night, and he used to eat chaza. Yeah, the Bundes. So he had his chevra were Edi Hakidushin. His friends were Edi Kidushin under the kufa. So the rabbi was there. The rabbi was a kosher aid. There were other kosher aidim there, but they designated. The rabbi said, "Who do you want to be the witnesses?" "Is my chaverim." So his chaverim were from the chevra who used to eat chazer on Leil Yom Kippur. So Chaim Moshe said that that's a din of Korav Apostle. If you have three or more witnesses, and one of them is Apostle, so even the two who are kosher, the whole thing is no good. So Chaim Moshe paskin halacha lemaisa, the woman is allowed to remarry based on din of Korav Apostle. That's usually, I think that's the first shul, not the first, that's the second shul in Achiezer. One of the early shulis in the first volume of Achiezer. And Chelik Avinazer, that's a big chiddush. Yeah. That Korav Apostle applies. We usually say Korav Apostle only applies to Eid HaMeir. It doesn't apply to Eid HaRoy. If they're just standing and watching, you don't apply. But Chaim Moshe explains why in this case it's not so. You do apply Korav Apostle.
The holding rule in chiddush, which says Amanash Shani Koyin or Amanash Shani Oshir, must be just under the chuppah, if he says before to her.
Hurry up, because that's just the Amanash Shani Koyin. Yeah, Bishas Maish.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not. That's what we spoke about last week. If a kohen marries a grusha and all the children are halolim, they are raisa. So he's a halol de raisa. So the children are permitted, the sons are permitted to be metamila mesim, to marry grusha and to do whatever they want. The mamish not kohanim at all. They lohakam em hachmim. But if the kohen marries a chalutza, which is only forbidden with the rabbanon, and the children are only halolim with the rabbanon, so he has the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the first aliyah. Because there's Nishkin Kohen, he doesn't get any of the other aliyahs because he is a Kohen. On the level of the Raisin, he is a Kohen. So you can only give him a Mafter. You can give him Akron something. Yeah, yeah, you have a problem over here, how to treat him. And he can't be Metamil Mesim, and he can't marry a Grusha because on the level of the Raisin, he is a Kohen.
But both
Chumas, and he can't do Pidyon Aben because he's not a Kohen. Minatari is a Kohen, but the Rabban is not a Kohen. So you have to go to Chumra in both directions.
But when he marries a Grusha, he
like
already has children.
When he marries a Grusha,
if he marries a Grusha and he already has children from the first marriage.
So those children are good, and the next children
are of course, are Kohanim.
Yeah. The next children are not.
So we have to clarify the children, the product of his marriage, not children of the
house. Yeah, big problem. Now it's a big problem, huh? One marries a kohen marries a chalutza.
Does not get malchus.
So the Mishnah says that you get malchus. The Tosfos says, how can it be? Malchus is only violated avera deraisa. What you can say is he gets malchus married is the rabbanon. Who by marrying a chalutza? The Mishnah says you get malchus. We'll get to the Mishnah. No. If someone a kohen marries a chalutza, So if a kohen marries a grusha, that's an aver in the chumash. He gets malchus. If a kohen marries a chalutza, that's an aver de rabbanon. So on that, the maximum you can give him is malchus mardus, but that's not going to be the same as malchus. Take for example, there's a famous Tosfos in Nozir that the Magen Avraham quotes in Shulchan Aruch that malchus derais is 39 times malchus. They whip him with a lash. And Marcus Mardus is only 13. How do Tosfos have the Ruach HaKodesh, the steak fish and canine? That's a different, right? That's a different kind of Marcus
Mardus.
Right. No. It's if a person refuses to do a mitzvah, they tell him it's Pesach, you have to eat matzah. So Makano such a Tosfos Nafshe, till he agrees to do the mitzvah. Until, that's a Shiloh. Acha Tosfos Nafshe means till he drops dead. That's a simple translation. So Abchaim Heller has a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvos LaHarambam. Abchaim Heller knew Arabic, and he translated the Sefer Mitzvos from the original Arabic, and here and there there's a mistake in the old Sefer Mitzvos. They say that the Chofetz Chaim said that after Abchaim Heller put out the Sefer Mitzvos, you're not allowed to use the old one. The Gemara says you're not permitted to use a Sefer Sheina Lugan.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have around the house a Sefer that has mistakes in it. Altashkin ba'alecha
ablo.
Yeah. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim said. You have to use Abchaim Heller's edition because he took out all the mistakes. So Abchaim Heller has corrections there, and then he has footnotes, he has comments on the bottom. So So that's one of the famous comments that he has. He says, what do you mean? A person refuses to eat matzah, so we whip him, we beat him up, machinoso, until he agrees to eat the matzah, or until he drops dead, achetetze nafsho. Why? When you keep on whipping him, so he's going to faint. So what do you keep on whipping him for? He has no bchira chavshis anymore.
Yeah.
So he says, the shita mukubetas are not gemara and ksubis on daf pehei, where it says, machinoso, achetetze nafsho, means till he loses consciousness. Doesn't mean till he drops dead. Not Yitzias Neshama. Yitzias Neshama for the Chavik Hadisha means you start Achetetze Nafsha. But here Achetetze Nafsha means till he loses consciousness. Then once he's unconscious, nobody hit him anymore. So that's a Makas Mardis to force the person to fulfill a mitzvah. That's on a mitzvah. But if the person has already violated an Aveira, so then you have no right to kill him. You have no right. You only give him Makas Mardis as a punishment, L'shovar, as a penalty. So how much is it? So it never says in the Gemara how much is Makas Mardis. So Tosfos and Noz, it comes up with an Einfa. Makas Mardis is 13. And the Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchos Yontif. It says a person, we just finished Beitzah, if a person does Malacha on Yontif, so you give him Malkus. But if a person does Malacha on Yontif, Shenishol Golias, it's only the Rabbanon, so you give Makas Mardis. So Vos Heist Makas Mardis, and the Magen Avraham quotes this Tosfos and Noz. The Makas Mardis is only 13. Malkus the Rice is 39. Marcus Mad is only 13. So that was a discussion if the Kohen lives with a Chalutza, the Kohen marries a Chalutza. So we give him Marcus Mardis. If the Kohen marries a Grusha, lives with a Grusha, that's an Issa Derai, so we give him Malkus. Here the Mishnah is telling a different story. There's a fellow who's in the community.
Assumed to be a Kohen.
Always assumed to be a Kohen. He gets the first Aliyah, benches first, and Duchens, and so on. He takes to get up Ben money. One fine day, two witnesses come. If it's not going to be two witnesses, so there's nothing to discuss. So two witnesses have to come, and they testify in front of a bezin of Shloisha. They testify that this man it's a mistake. He doesn't even know. He's not really a Kohen. He's really a Cholo, and he's not allowed to get the first Aliyah, no Pigin Aben, and no Duchening, and nothing with nothing. Okay? So far, fine. And then we're Mazim, the two Edim. So let's say the two Edim themselves are Kohanim. The two Edom are testifying are Kohanim.
They said right. She never knew his mother. So they never knew his mother.
The Rashi, that's all he gave listing, the two possibilities how. The Meiri and other Rishonim quote, the father told them, your father told us on his deathbed, which was 5 years ago, we were there and when your father died, father told us on his deathbed that he wants us to know that these children that he has, that his wife was a halutza, a grusha, and all the children are halalim. And then when mazim then, they weren't even in New York when the father died, they were in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't here, you can be mazim. So that's what the other Rishonim say, that they testified the father said on his deathbed. And others are concerned, no, if they say the father said on his deathbed, that's a rechem nemen b'yisurim. So why should you need two edim to say someone is a halal? To say someone is a kohen, to testify that somebody is a kohen. So I come to town, I say I'm a Kohen. So the din is Erechad Nemen B'Yisurim. I'm back late. There's a chumra mid the Rabbanon that you're not supposed to believe a person. Maybe he's telling a lie, maybe he's interested in getting the cover, to getting the first Aliyah, picking up Ben money, maybe he's interested in the money or something. So mid the Rabbanon, the din is that you need someone else to say about me that I'm a Kohen. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch,
but you don't need to.
All you need is an Erechad. All you need is another Eid Echot to say.
How's it different if a couple comes to a town and they live together, and even if they were brothers and sisters, they get a chazukah that they are married? So they're a cloud and they get a chazukah.
Rubid alayse kamon. That chazukah means an umdine.
Mm-hmm.
A rubid alayse kamon. A people live together.
But you don't know there was a coin. He came down new to town. You never know, but no
right,
one knew
so just like you don't know there that there was no kedushin. You weren't by the husband.
No, but he was shy.
If a man and a woman live together, kederach ish to ishtoi, for a month, so we assume that they're not acting. But if a man comes to town and he says he's a kohen, so what are you going to say? He's going to act it out for 10 years, so we'll assume that what? That it must be true.
Yeah,
I don't think it's not based on a Ruba de Leisa Kaman, it's based on a Erech and Nemen B'Yisurim, I think. It's a good question. Why? Maybe because you need two people. If you have two people together who are putting on the act, then it's better. One guy can tell a lie consistently, but two people should lie consistently and act out to their
they do something which makes the brothers to be anumdin, they live together. Two brothers
come, they say they're kahanim.
They say they're both kahanim.
Right.
Okay, maybe in that case you don't have to come on to Eidech and Envy, sir. So maybe that's better, maybe in such a case.
If someone comes in tomorrow, is there a coin there? I'm a coin there. So, what, if we stop and say you can't have it all either?
That's a shaila. That's a shaila. So, Nikar Adin Derai Seyed Echad is Nemen. The main is believed to say he's a coin. And then with the Rabbanon, there's a chumrah that a guy comes to town and he says, I'm a coin, you don't rely on what he said. You require that two kosher Eidim, either one or two, that's a discussion, how many Eidim do you need with the Rabbanon? You have to have either one or two Eidim to say that he's a Kohen. But for many generations, the Shach writes in Yerideya and Hilchas Chala, that for many generations we have been in violation of this din, because a lot of times there was a pogrom, and they killed out all the Jews in the village except for him. There's no one else alive, who's going to testify on him? So if it's a Shas HaTchak, there's a Gemara in the end of Gittin. If you have a Shas HaTchak, there's no way to get
other testimony.
There's no way to get outside corroboration. He's the only one who can say. So then you revert back to the Din Daraisa. So the Shach quotes the Maharil. Maharil is from the 1300s. And he says it's already many. Maharil lived before the First World War, before everything. So he said he lived after the Crusades, though. So he says we went through so many pogroms, so we have reverted back to the Din Daraisa, because B'Shas HaTchak, the halacha says you don't have to be machmer with the Rabbanan. So that's what we follow today. A man comes and says he's a kohen, so we say erech adam misur. So the shot is to establish that he is a kohen, is mikra din erech adam misur. What about to say on a kohen that is nishkin kohen, to say that is a cholo? Is that also erech adam misur? To make him into a kohen is erech adam misur, and to cancel his status as kohen is also erech adam misur. And maybe I should say no. To say that he's a kohen is taka erech adam misur. To say that one who's assumed to be a kohen is nishkin kohen, maybe that's called the double shabiyavim. Maybe that needs to wait. So that's what we mentioned last week. This was a big dispute. I don't know if it was halacha l'maisa, but it was a correspondence. Or should you say no? Since you're declaring on a personal status, a halashem on the gavra, maybe that has the din of dovah shebi'erva. So that was relevant to our Mishnah. What's the whole meduber in the Mishnah? What's the whole discussion? What's the whole topic over here? Two witnesses said that somebody's a cholol, and then we were mazim them. So maybe, should we give a din of kasha zamam or not? So we posed the question, but the nesiva says the whole din of kasha zamam only applies when the halacha requires two kasher eidim to testify in front of Bezna. If he all day Erech Adem Visurim, so there's no issue. So the Chayre, this Mishnah seems to imply that to establish that someone is a Cholol is considered a Dovah Shebi'erva, and you need two Kosher Eidim. Unless you'll say that's where Rashi came to Bavar. Rashi on the third line in the Perek, second and third line, gives you a case. How do the two witnesses testify? We know he's a Cholol. So I gave a case. The two witnesses say, your father said on his deathbed that all of his children are halalim, that the mother was a grusha, and he kept it a secret no one ever knew, and he wants now to tell the truth before he dies, that all the children are halalim. So it could be that in that case, Rashi would hold that's Eidech Adem and Bisurim. So there wouldn't be any issue. You wouldn't need a Mishnah to talk about that. So Rashi maybe bavorns, and he says, no, we're talking about a case. The two witnesses say, we know that the man is a ben grusha. We saw the mother get divorced 10 years ago, mm-hmm. or 20 years ago, and the guy's only 15 years old. This man is only 15 years old, and we saw her get divorced from her first husband. So we know the woman is a grusha. So maybe you're a ben grusha. So maybe that's what Rashi means to say. To testify on halal is per se, to say someone is a kohen, someone is not a kohen, maybe that's Eidech Adem and Bisurim. But if the way you're testifying that the person is a halal is via testifying, we witnessed a Maisa Gerishin. So a Maisa Gerishin is a Dovah Shebi'erva. So even though the testimony is only relevant, he's not saying the woman got divorced, she's allowed to remarry. The woman is dead already. The mother's not alive. We're not interested in the mother. But since the way to say that the children are halalim is by saying, Bafanenim is Gar She'imo, since they're testifying on a Maisa Gerishin, Oh, that's already labeled as a davish of Bierva. Even though the relevance of the testimony is for an issue of Isurim, maybe that's what Rashi means. And in such a case, he needs Shnei Edim.
Actually, it's also not even now davish of Bierva, because now the halulim, they can't marry kahanis, the children, right?
Chalolim may marry who? Chalolah.
No. Chalolah may marry. Children are chalolim. Then they wouldn't be able to marry a
chalol may marry a kohenis. A chalol may marry a kohenis. A kohen may not marry a chalolah.
Yeah,
but a kohenis may marry a chalol. That's the Gemara has a lashon law. Who's the ruksheiros lihinase lepsulut? Kohenis ksheira is permitted. This din is only in one direction. A kohen zachar is not permitted to marry a chalolah.
Yeah.
But a kohenes is permitted to marry a chalol.
Right, but if they say that the children are chalolim, they will not be able to marry a grusha.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
So this is also the Rosh Hashanah, no?
That's the question. That was the machlokes Rebbe Kivegi and the Nesivos, to say that a person is a mamzer limits him very much.
Right.
So is that called a davish b'yerva? No, maybe it's a decha. Then it'd be soon. That's the machlokes.
Then it can be something else. The person who comes and says that they are not Kohanim, that the woman was divorced, basically he the witness on Erva, has nothing to do with it, so therefore you may drive him on this.
Right.
And the person, the mother, she's only a third party to the conflict, she's only like a material witness, and for this definitely you need two witnesses.
Right, that's the shailas. Witnesses
because the testimony is for the mother as a witness, not as a party to the old man.
Right, that's the shailas. If witnesses testify on a divorce, so to testify that a woman is divorced is a davish b'yerva, but the whole intent, the whole purpose,
not to make a
the whole relevance of the divorce is not, the woman is dead already many years. The whole relevance is to declare that her children who were born later, so that's a discussion of Pischi Tshuva in Ebenezer. Do you consider that like a Dovah Shabierv or not? So maybe that's what Rashi holds, that's why it's a Dovah Shabierv. So getting back again to our Mishnah, we didn't do the Mishnah yet. So again, so two witnesses testify, however they testify. Either they testified, we heard your father told us on his deathbed that you're Ochalolim. Or they testified b'fenein in his Garshim, however, that's another discussion. How it is. The two kosher witnesses testify, these people are Ochalolim. And then it turns out that they're liars from top to bottom. They weren't even in America at that time. They were in China. And they themselves are Kohanim. The Edom themselves are Kohanim. So there's what to discuss. Maybe we should say, Basisim Loi, Kashizamam Lasis Lachim. Maybe we should now declare them as Chalolim. They were trying to declare him as a Chalol. Maybe if they are Kohanim, if they're not Kohanim, what are you going to make them Chalolim? But if they are Kohanim, maybe we should declare them as Chalom. So the Mishnah says you don't say. Ain Omrim, you do not say Yeyasa Zeh Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Let's declare the witnesses themselves should be considered Chalom. You don't Tachtov instead of the person about whom they testify. Elo the din is no. Look our boy, we give Malkus, right? So this Malkus, right? This Malkus is only Shayech Ben Grusha. How can it be by Ben Chalutza?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Just like there's only Makas Mardis on the Ben Chalutza, so how can you have? So it's probably also going to be Makas Mardis. The Loshen on Mishnah puts it together. Yeah, the Mishnah Yud Gimel also puts it together. The Mishnah Yud Gimel is the same problem. It says Elohein Aloikin, and it says you give Malkus by Chalutza Lekayim. How can it be? So Tyson says it's not Meduyak. So the Pashta says this is also not Meduyak. It means one case it'll be Malkus, one case it'll be Makas Mardis. I don't remember. The Rama says what? I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. How can it become a derisa? There's still stuff goes up. It's only the Rabbana. I don't know. Gotta look in the Rambam. I'm not familiar. Yeah. And then the Mishnah gives a second case. They testify somebody killed Bishoygeg. And he has to go to the Ori Miklot. And then it turns out that it's in Gans and Shek of the Chazad. They weren't even in New York at that time. So, Einomim Yigol is there Tachta. We do not say, let's require of the witnesses, they should run away to the Ori Miklot. No, you don't say that. Ela Loikar Aboyim. Whenever you can't give Kashizamam, so you give Malkus instead. So the Gemara is going to add on another two cases. The Mishnah only had two. The one case of where they testify halolim, and one case where they testify in golos. Then the Gemara is going to have another two. One case was koifer, and one case was to sell him as an eved ivri. If they say so-and-so robbed a bank $1 million and he'll never be able to pay back all that money, and the Bezin should sell him as an eved ivri, then it turns out the whole thing is shekel v'chazav, it's all a lie. So do we say, well, let's sell the Aden Zaydenem as an eved ivri? So the Braisa says, no, ein omrim, yimoche ezeh. You don't say, let's sell the Aden as eved ivri. So in all the four cases, the Rambam understands that you give Malkus. So we have to understand, you're always going to have to explain two things. Number one, you're going to have to give four reasons. Why is it that in these four cases, why don't you do Kasha Zaman? Why is there no Kasha Zaman? And then question, there may be four different reasons. If you could have one reason to cover all four cases, that would be gewaldig. But the Gemara will not give one reason. The Gemara has a separate reason for each four case, each of the four cases. Then the Gemara has to come up with another source. Where did you come up with this din that whenever you can't apply Kasha Zaman, then you substitute with Malkus from thin air? Where did that Malkus come from? So the Gemara is going to have to work on this whole story. But till the Gemara gets to the explanation, so the Gemara first can't read the Mishnah. The Loshon HaMishnah doesn't read straight. Freg the Gemara, Hoket said, Ein Ho'edim Nasim Zoymim in the Boyalei. The first cleric is about Edim Zoymim. So I understand the Torah Shabbat is not written the way we would have written an encyclopedic article. Okay, so you start from the exception to the rule. The Zog, there is an, instead of writing, there is a rule of Edim Zoymim, Kasha Zaman, and there are a few exceptions. So I understand you start with the exception, but start zog the exception. Yeah. You say case of Adam Nasim Zaymimim. What's an example of a case where you give Kasha Zaman? It's not an example. It's an example where you don't give Kasha Zaman. Craig the Gemara. Okay, said Adam Nasim Zaymimim Boyle. Davstein Faker. The Yod. What's the question? Case of Adam Nasim Zaymimim. It's the Mishnah on the next daf. It says the Yod Craig the Gemara. Midiktani lekamon. Where is it? Daf Hey Yom and Aleph. The Mishnah says on Daf Hey Yom and Aleph. The second Mishnah on the Daf on Hey Yom and Aleph. Ein hu edim nasim zaymimim ad sheyazimu es atzmam. Ketzad. What's the case? Case it's sad. Oh, so they say me the manu bishploni shaharagas hanefesh. The first two witnesses say Reuben murdered Shimon. Amar lehem, the other two witnesses say hechat amidim shahari nerag zeh. So if the second two witnesses say you're lying because the man that you claim Reuben killed Shimon, you say Shimon is still alive. So it's an outright lie. Shimon is still alive. Or they say Shimon was with us in Brooklyn on that day. How can you say that you were there in Florida and he killed him in Florida? Shimon was with us in Brooklyn, he wasn't in Florida. Or they say Reuben was with us in Brooklyn. How can you say that Reuben killed Shimon? So if the second pair of witnesses contradict the first pair by saying we were there and he never killed him, or he says he's still alive, he's not dead, or the second pair of witnesses say hechat meidim that Reuben killed Shimon in Florida on Sunday, Reuben wasn't Brooklyn, Shimon wasn't Brooklyn, that's not hazama. So that's hakasha. So that's trey. It's their word against their word, and you don't know who's telling the truth unless Shimon walks into business. If Bo Harik Baragel, if Shimon walks into business, then we know he's telling the truth. And you're not choshish for Tchias HaMeisim. Let's say the first day will say, no, he really killed him in a Tchias HaMeisim. So the Gemara says you don't assume that a Tchias HaMeisim.
It'll be very well known. Have a good, huh? It'll be known then. Everybody will know.
Okay. So the Gemara says you're not choshish for Tchias HaMeisim. Not yet. It's not yet. But the only time it's a din of Edim Zaymimim is Avo. On the sixth line of the Mishnah, Avol. If the second witnesses contradict the first by saying, how can you testify that Reuben killed Shimon in Florida? If you two witnesses were with us in Brooklyn on Sunday, you weren't there in Florida. You were with us. Oh, that's a din of Kasha Zaman. That's a din of Edim Zaymimim. So if you want to have a question, Ketzer Ha'edim Nasim Zaymimim, the answer should be, look on Daf Hayam and Aleph. The Mishnah tells you when yes and when no. When the second pair of witnesses amazim the gufam shall ha'edim arishanim yazimu es atzmam shall edim, not yazimu the horeg or yazimu the neharag, or they say it's not true we were there. No, yazimu es atzmam the edim. So that's the Gemara's two kashas. First of all, it should say Kate said, this is an exception to the rule. And this question, and they repeat the same question is, if he's saying Keitzerim Nasim Zemim, so Zog the Mishnah Daf Hey, what the rule is.
What happens if he only is Muslim one person, one witness?
We'll get to that. The Gemara says that that witness is knocked out. Whoever the Muslim is knocked out. And you cannot even use the other witnesses because Karv Apostle. A whole Chabur of 10 witnesses come together. One of them is knocked out as an 8 sheker, so the other 9 are also not acceptable, but you don't give anybody any punishment. You only give a punishment of Kasha Zomram if you are Mazim, all of them. And she has Omukulam. That's going to be a Mishnah later. So the Gemara says, we don't know how to read this Mishnah. What's Pshat in the Mishnah? And for the Gemara, and there's another question here. The word Ketzad is like when we learn Brachas. So the opening Mishnah in Brachas asks a question. When is this Zman Krishma for Meirev? So, where are you
coming from?
Where are you coming from? Tana Hechikoi. What are you alluding to? So the Gemara says, well, we know Chumash. You know we say Chumash. It says in Chumash that you have to say Kriya Shema twice a day. You have to say every day begins by Yer by Veker. First begins at night and then the next day. So when is so the Tana is alluding to the passing of Chumash. In Chumash it says there is an institution of Kriya Shema Shal Arvis, and the Mishnah asks, Meimasai Karnas Hashma Barav. What is this man Kriya Shema? So here also the Mishnah says, Keter Einu Nasim Zemim. What is his point of reference? Yeah. What is he referring back to? So is he referring back to a pasuk in Chumash? No, he's telling you the exception to the rule. The pasuk tells you the rule. The Torah Shabbat Ped developed the whole four exceptions to the rule. So what is he alluding to? So the Gemara says, no, he's alluding to the last Mishnah. Makis is a hemshach from Sanhedrin. Either it's one Mesichta after the other, or the Ramban says it's one Mesichta. The Sanhedrin has an argument. 11 prokim, and Makis has 3. So the Ramban writes in Machamis one place, it's really one Mesichta with 14 prokim. This is like Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, that each Mesichta has 10 prokim. So the Gemara has a popular notion, Kula Nizik and Chodim Mesichta. That Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra is all one Mesichta. Because in Kalim you have like that. There's Maseches Kalim has 30 prokim. And the first 10 are called Bava Kama, the next 10 are called Bava Metzia, the next 10 are called Bava Basra. So the same over here, the Gemara says, Kula Nizik and Chodim Mesichta. The 30 prokim of all the 3 Bavas is one Mesichta. So Ramban understood here it's the similar thing, that it's really one Mesichta with 14 prokim. And as we mentioned last week, towards the second, the end of Sanhedrin, has Elohein Hanisrafim, Elohein Hanechnokim, and Elohein Haniskolim, and Elohein Haneherogim. Then it has Elohein Hagoylim, and Elohein Haloikim. This is a Hemshech from the Eloheins, a Hemshech from Sanhedrin. So either it's one Mesichta following the other, or it's one Mesichta Mamish. So the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that's the question exactly. What is the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin? So the last two prokim in Sanhedrin are questionable. We have the last perek in Sanhedrin is all Agadah, about the Olam Habo, about Bias HaMashiach, all the Gemaras about Bias HaMashiach. Most of them are here in the last perek in Sanhedrin, perek Chelik. Kol Yisrael Yesh on Chelik Olam Habo. So most of the Rishonim say that that's really out of order, that the last perek is really the 10th perek. The 10th should be the 11th, and the 11th should really be the 10th. And the concluding Mishnah in Sanhedrin is not the very last Mishnah as we have it about Yoni Dachas and Chelek. The last Mishnah really is Daf Peites, where it has a quirk of the din of Adam Zamim. The Mishnah has a din, that's what the Gemara quotes. The Mishnah has a din that whenever Yomazim the witnesses, so if they try to accomplish that this poor guy should get skila, so you give them skila. If they try to give him sreifa, so you give them sreifa. They try to give him chenik, you give them chenik. So the Mishnah says, kala zaymim magdimim la'osa misa. You always give them the same form of misa that they attempted to punish the other fellow with. Chutz, there's one exception to the rule, where they attempted to give sreifa, and they don't get the onus of sreifa. That's by a baskoyin shazinsa. The Chumash says that if an Eishes Ish is Mizana, so she gets a punishment of Chenek. Unless she's a Naira Hamarasa, then the punishment is Skila. So what if the Eishes Ish is Inso happens to be a Baskoin, a Kohenes? So instead of getting the lighter punishment of Chenek, you give her Sreifa. Baskoin Shazinsa is Bisreifa if she's an Eishes Ish. If she's single, there's no Misa. The punishment of Misa is only if she's married. So that halacha that you give sreifa is limited. Only the normally whenever you have two people violated gili arayis, so if he gets kor, she gets kor. If he gets chenik, she gets chenik. If she gets sreifa, he gets sreifa. It's always the same punishment. So this is an exception to the rule. The pasuk says, "Obas koyin, he boyish disorit." So the gemara is medayik. He boyish boyala. Only she gets the sreifa. The boyal is plain chenik. He was a boalish ish nishkanayra hamarasa. So the stamis is going to be chenik. So since this special einish of sreifa is only given to the bas koyin, and it doesn't go to the boil, normally Hishar Kasabi Shaliyish, they get the same punishment, unless one is a bar mitzvah, one is not. Unless one is not all there, unless one is retarded. So the one is retarded doesn't get an einish, the one is not retarded gets an einish. Achei Rishay to the cousin. But if they're both bardas, so they both get the same punishment. So by bas kain shazin, so they don't get the same punishment. The bas kain, the kohenes get sreifa, and the boil only gets chenek, so the eidim zamimim are also excluded from the same pasuk. He boesh tisarif. So the Eidim Zamimim also don't get the same punishment. So that's the last Mishnah. That's how the Gemara had it. That the 10th parak should really be the 11th parak. That parak really should be the 10th parak. I think that's how it is in the Yerushalmi. And all the Mishnahim say that's what it's supposed to be in the Babli also. I don't know, they give explanations. Who rearranged it here? They wanted to put the Agadita at the end. I don't know.
Didn't want to end with killing.
Yeah, so they ended with Mashiach. Okay. They ended with all the Agadita of Mashiach. Okay. I remember when we learned Sanhedrin, Rav Soloveitchik Shir, so he learned 2 years, and he got to Daf Tzadik. And then he left out all the Agadita. Didn't do any agarta about chelak al mabo. And then he just learned. He gave two or three shiurim. He gave two shiurim on the last sugya of irani dachas, and that was it. And he left out the agarta in there. So that's what the Gemara says here in the first daf in Makkos. The closing mishnah in Sanhedrin tells you that there's an exception to the rule of Eidim Zanimim.
So we'll continue here with exception.
So the Mishnah continues, Kate said, Ho'edim Nasim Zanimim. What's another example of a case?
Exception to the rule.
What's another exception to the rule? The point of reference is the last Mishnah. He's just, the last Mishnah's ahead. He's continuing where he left off last. That's what the Gemara explains. And for the Gemara, Tana Hasim Koi. The Tana in the beginning of Makkos is just continuing from the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It said, the last line in the Mishnah in the 10th Perek says, Kol hazayimim imakdimim liyoysa miso. Whenever you mazim, the Eidim, you give them the same oynish miso that they attempted to punish the person with the one exception, chutz mizamim baskoyin, uboyalo, if the witnesses are testifying against the baskoyin and the boyal, shei makdimim liyoysa miso. They don't give the Eidim Zaymimim, the Sreifa, they only give them the Chenek. Elamisa Acher is to get a different punishment, Chenek. And now the Mishnah continues in Makkos. V'yesh Eidim Zaymimim Macherim. There's another four cases where it's also not Kasha Zamam. It's very different. There at least they get a death penalty, they get a different Einish Misa. Here it's in Gansan not. Sheinois Mem Dinas Amakal Liker. There's no Kasha Zamam at all. Elamakas Aboim Kate said, what's the case? Etc., etc. That's our Mishnah. Okay. So now that we know what the point of reference is, that the opening Mishnah, Makkos, is a Hemshech from the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So now the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that it's true? If the witnesses who testify themselves are kohanim, so why shouldn't we say basisim like hashazam nasiv yochim? Treat them as chalolim. Don't give them the first aliyah. Don't let them duchen. No more pidyon aben, and then treat them as chalolim. And for the gemara, Amar Rabbi Shua Ben Levi says, you have a pasuk the Amar Krot says in the Chumash basisim like hashazam nasiv yochim. So it says the punishment of kashazam is only to the witnesses themselves. You're not allowed to punish the whole family. So if you're going to treat them as halalim, so all their sons and all their sons is going to affect their children, is going to affect their wife. Let's say if a woman is married to a halal, the woman is gizuntay, the woman can marry a halal. There's no issur. But if the husband will die, she's not allowed to marry a kain. If the woman married a halal, which is behet gomer, and the husband dies, so she's an amana normally is allowed to marry a kayin, but if she was living with a halal, So she's never on the pasul of psala. She either becomes a zayna or a halala. That's a machlekes in Rishonim. What the category of psul is, the Rambam says zayna, Tosfos says halala. But whatever it is, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. So over here, if you want to declare the Edim Zaymimim as Halalim, it affects everybody in the family. It affects the wife, and it affects the children. The children will be Halalim.
You just said before that Cholal is better than Hedges, and here you want to say that it's like a Zayna, not a Mandoma, but it's less than Hedges.
No, that's Nivalola Cholal.
No, if it's a Cholal.
A Cholal is better than a zar. What?
Yeah.
A non-kohen, it does avodah, is no good even b'di'evit. You have to do it over. If a cholo does avodah b'di'evit, it is good. Yeah.
So it's better than a zar.
So it's
better. In this sense, it's better. In another sense, it's worse. Yeah. Right. If he has a daughter, the daughter's not allowed to marry a kohen. If Yabbi Yisrael has a daughter, so she may marry a kohen. Yeah. Milus and chasreinus.
It's a special.
It's better or worse?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A kohen is a bal mum, he is a full fledged kohen. He's not allowed to marry a grusha, he's not allowed to go to the cemetery. Those avodas no good even b'di'evit. No good even b'di'evit. Yeah. So this is opposite. It's a paradox. The bal mum is not allowed to marry a grusha, zayin machalol, is not allowed to be metame lemeisim. So he's more of a, and he eats truma, right? He's more of a kohen. And nonetheless, if he does avoda b'di'evit, is no good. And the cholo is mamish mutter l'tami l'meisim nishkin kain at all. So, but the yevad avayit is good. Yeah, each one has a plus and a minus. Yeah, they're all based on pesukim and chumash. So the first suggestion in the Gemara is Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Shua ben Levi says, how did the Tana know in the Mishnah that you don't declare kasha zamim over here, that you don't declare the edim that they should be considered halalim? So he says no, because the punishment of kasha zamim only goes to the witnesses. You can't punish the whole family. And here, if you'll declare that the edim zaynim halalim, so it affects the wife, and it affects the children, and it affects the grandchildren, li'olam for it, you're never going to get rid of it. If they're single. Okay, yeah, that's what you see. Craig the Gemara, we'll only say half kasha zama. Craig the Gemara, v'lifsalu l'didei v'lo lifsalu l'zarei. So let's declare that they are halolim, that they can no longer get the first aliyah and truma and duchening and pidyon ben money, but it should not affect the family. The wife should not become psula l'kuna. And the children should not become halalim. So the Gemara says that's a farce. So what kind of, that's a halba kasha zamam. They tried to make him a real halal bona fide for all intents and purposes to affect the wife and the children, and you're only going to give them half of a kasha zamam. So the Gemara says, bina kasha zamam baleka, that's not fair. So that's the first suggestion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and the Gemara is going to say that is the correct source. The Gemara on the top of Amud Beis says, the Gemara is going to come up with another suggestion that's no good. Gemara says, Elo Machvarta, the correct answer was Kiddushanina Meikora. As we answered originally, Rabbi Shua ben Levi's answer, that is the official explanation. And even if he's single, and there is no wife, and there are no children, since theoretically, if he'll get married, he'll have children, so therefore, it's a loitlus. Therefore, there's no din of kashizam. And Bar Pado, another Ramoira, gave a different suggestion, which was rejected. Bapada says, I know that I cannot declare the Eidim Zaymimim as Halolim based on the following Kalachayma. Logic dictates. The question is, logic dictates.
Yeah, what's the logic here? Yeah,
see, in every discipline has its own internal logic. In chemistry, there's an internal logic. In physics, in halacha, every discipline like that has its own logic. So, fourth arayim with a logic, mi bachutz, then where it says, but in this parsha of kasha zamam, your logic doesn't hold water. So he says like this: what's the din? A kohen marries a grusha, and he has 10 children. So he created 10 halolim. Mamish, he brought 10 halolim into the world. So, and nonetheless, what's his status? He remains a kohen. He's a tzaddik. His wife becomes nivalol apostle. His wife becomes a halolim. The Mishnah in Chayre says, while he's married to the Grusha, we don't permit him to do Avodah and Beis HaMikdash. That's assumed al pashtus only to be a chumra midirabbanan. The pashtus is menatayre, is a modern thing. He's married to this grusha, is running around having an affair with the grusha. Menatayre, he's a kind, he can be makar kabban. But the pashtnish, so the pashtus shat midirabbanan, we penalize him. We don't allow him to do avoda based on migdash until he promises, the Mishnah says, till he swears he's going to divorce her. If it's a real din d'oraisa, so what does it help? He swears he's going to divorce her. So that's what the Rishonim say. It sounds like it's only a din d'rabbanan. The Ravid has a pirush on Teres Kohanim. The regular Ravid has a pirush on the bottom of the Teres Kohanim. So in the beginning of Parshas Emor, he writes, he seems to have understood that mission, that it's a real din d'oraisa. The kozman that the Kohen is married to the Grusha, it's a din menatara that there's a temporary halavus, that he's not allowed to be makul kabbanim. But that's not the accepted shot. In Shulchan Aruch, we assume that it's only a penalty mid rabbanan. And that's why there's a machloikis hagoinim, before the Rishonim, there's a machloikis hagoinim. How far does the penalty go? If the Kohen is, let's say, the Kohen goes to the cemetery all the time, the Kohen is married to a grusha, or let's say the Kohen shaves with a razor, he violates any of the Isuri Kohuna. Anyone who shaves with a razor is an aver, but if the Kohen shaves with a razor, it's a double aver, because it's written in Parashas Kohuna. So it's considered a violation of Isuri Kohuna. So if the Kohen violates, if the Kohen eats chazer, so that's not a Kohuna Dikadin. Kohen married a shikse, that's the question. Kain is married to a shiksa. So that's an issa for anybody.
What do you mean he's married to a shiksa?
Civilly.
So they are not married, they live together.
Live together. Yeah, so the shayla is no one is allowed to marry a shiksa. Yeah. So that's a universal issa, not a kohenidika issa. Or maybe I should say no, in addition to the general issa of intermarriage, it's a miyuchadika issa of zayna lekain. Maybe it's an additional. So that's the question. If a kain is living with a grusha, he's not allowed a duchen. Kain is living with a nachris, he is allowed a duchen. That's the question. That's a machlekes. There's some rabbanim say yes, the kohen is living with his nachris, he is allowed to duchen because that's a regular din. That's a prohibition for everybody.
What do you mean temporary? I mean, once he divorces her,
If he divorces her,
something becomes osur, it's osur loylam.
By macholas asuris, that's a din. But over here, it's not macholas asuris. Here is a knas with the rabbanim. To force him to divorce us, so we don't let him makar karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. So here in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there's a machloikis in the Goinim, how far this penalty goes. Do you say the kozman that the Goin is married to the grusha, we don't give him the first aliyah, and we don't let him duchen also? Or do you say, no, it's only a din and avodah in Beis Hamikdash. They never instituted this knas mid rabbanon with respect to duchening or with respect to getting the first aliyah. So most of the Goinim say lahakil. Most of the Goyim say that this Knas Midirabbanim is only instituted vis-a-vis Karbonis, that's the Mishnah. They never instituted it in a get to anything else. And it's not fully understood why the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Lachumra, that the Knas in the Mishnah in Becheres extends to Duchening and extends also to getting the first Aliyah. Why was he so Machmir? I don't know. I don't remember if they have a discussion. I don't know, because the Goyim were the ones who raised the issue. So already in the days of the Goyim, nobody was eating any truma. I don't know. They had Allah Lamaisa the Shadah. Do you let him duchen? Do you let him get the first aliyah? So the minority opinion was the accepted view. In the days of the Goyim, that was the outvoted. That opinion was outvoted. And then it came in the 1500s when the Shulchan Aruch was written. Rabbi Yosef Kara adopted that view, and that's the way it remains like that. No, that's another Shadah. The Chal Shabbos per se, that shouldn't really pose a problem. That's a general Avera. But there's an added problem. Chal Shabbos for Hesed Dina Ka'akum. So if he's in Dina Ka'akum, he's not a full fledged Jew, so how can he call him a Kohen? A Kohen means he's a human being. He's a human being, and he's Jewish, and he shaved Levi, and he's on top of that, he's a Kohen. But if we're not so convinced that he's a human being, he's a Golem, let's say. So Marami Prag made a Golem Lamazol. So how can you say he's a kohen like himself? He's not a human being. He's not a human being. So first, in order to be a kohen, you have to have the basics. You have to be a human being. Then you have to have kedushas Yisrael full. Then you have to be shevet Levi. The al kulam, you have to be a kohen. So if he's a mechal Shabbos b'fresi dina ka'akum, means he felt him something is missing in the kedushas Yisrael. No, that's assumed. Many assume that that's a din deraisa.
Yeah.
with respect to certain dinim is dina kakum. With respect to if he shech to deima, shchitos an aveila. And many assume that it's deraisa, it's not derabbanan. But it's mekadosh and nisha, so the kedusha not topsim. So that's a good question when you say amumer lavoda zara is dina kakum. With respect to some dinim, I can't use, let's say a Jew who converted to another religion, is dina kakum, but I can't use him as my Shabbos guy. I can't ask him to turn off the lights in the shul or something like that. He's really Jewish. He's really Jewish. I can't. If I'm a barber and he comes in for haircut, he wants me to shave off his face with a razor, I'm not allowed to. Sofko Sof, he's Jewish, I'm not allowed to. So with respect to some dinim, we say Amum Alavoy Dezar is dina kinochri. With respect to many other dinim, we don't say dina kinochri. That's the question. How do you determine
which
dinim yes and which dinim no? So that's what the Mishnah Brura writes a chiddush, that if there's a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye, if such a thing exists, Bizman Hazeh. That's what the Chazanish and the Binyan Sion and many others say, there is no Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye today. Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye means he lives in a community where the majority, the overwhelming majority of the people are Sabbath observant, and he breaks the discipline with such a chutzpah, with such an arrogance, he's not even embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in the presence of the chief rabbi. That's the Loshon HaGemara in Erevin. Even when the Nasi, even when Rabbi Yudah Nasi walks by, he's not embarrassed at all. Today, what do you mean Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye? What do you mean he's not embarrassed? The Orthodox Jews are embarrassed. The overwhelming majority of the Jews are non-observant. Maybe in Meir Shorim, maybe in Bnei Brak, he can have, maybe a Munkach. The Mincha Saluza quotes this tshuva from the Binyan Sin. Binyan Sin lived in Germany. So he writes, we don't have a Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye anymore. How can you call it B'Farhesye if the majority of the people are not Shomer Shabbos? So the Minkach writes in his Chivas in the Minchas Aluz, what do you mean? Of course it's Mechal Shabbos. Yeah, a Munkach. If the facts are like that, if all the people are Shomer Shabbos, and there's one person who's a Shegitz and he doesn't care, and he's not even embarrassed in the presence of the rabbi, so he's talking Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye. But if you live in a community where the majority, many people are not Shomer Shabbos, so how can you call this guy Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye? B'Farhesye means that it's B'Mezid, with chutzpah and ha'ozah. What kind of mazes? Most of the time it's b'shoigi. It's a tinek shenishba. They don't know anything. And even if it's sometimes it's b'mazes, but you can't say it's chutzpah and ha'ozah. He says, I'm not orthodox, right? I'm not orthodox. And he holds it, that's the teretz. He thinks that you don't have to. You have a choice. You want to be Democrat, you want to be Republican. You want to be orthodox, you don't want to be orthodox. How can you call that Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesye? So that's a different shayla. Yeah. Nothing. The Gemara says it's better not to give any kasher zamam. Yeah, the Gemara says you can't give a half a kasher zamam. So whenever you're not able to give kasher zamam, so we replace it, we substitute it with a different pasuk that we didn't get yet. That's the Gemara's going to dig up that pasuk on Amud Beis. Where did you get the malchus?
Yeah. It doesn't look stuck free.
That's the first case is yes, that kasha. That's another kasha. Yeah. How can you have four cases where there's no kasha zamam? The Gemara has a din in Sanhedrin that if witnesses come and testify on a case, we have to warn them in advance, look here, chevre, if you're caught lying, we're going to give you over the head, we're going to punish you. And it has to be kasha zamam. So the Gemara says, if witnesses testify in such a way that even if we'll catch them in a lie, we can't punish them with kasha zamam, then you have no right to accept their testimony in the first place. If it's an Eidish, Iyat, the Yochel, Ahazima, the Gemara says, Puzzle Eidish, you have no right to accept it. You have to be able to threaten them, you have to have Iyum. You have to warn the Eidim in advance. If you're lying, you're going to get it over the head. But if they know in advance, even if they're lying, they're not going to get punished. You can't accept their testimony at all. So that's Tesis Kasha. How can you ever accept the testimony in these four cases if the Aloha says in advance that there's no Kasha Zama? So how can the Eidim ever be kosher? So that's the first Tesis. So one Teres Tesis gives is, if Malchus is a substitute, so you're Yotze with that. That's called Eidish Ati Yochel Azimo, because Sofka Sof you can give Malchus. That's one answer the Tesis gives. No. Eid Echod, there's never any Kasha Zama. That's what the Nesiva said. So you never need Eidish Ati Yochel Azimo. Right. No, in cases where you accept Eidus Eid Echod, so there's no issue of Kasha Zamam, and there's no need for Eidus Ati Yochel Azimah. It's only a requirement when you need two eidim. So that, not exactly. Tosfos has a Gemara in Sanhedrin. If the witnesses are testifying on a case to give someone the death penalty, and the way they formulated the testimony is in such a fashion that if you'll be mazim them, the worst they'll get is malchus. They won't get miso. So then the Gemara says it's not kasha. It's not called eidim shat yochel azim. It's toignish. Then you can't accept their testimony. So Tosfos says, yeah, that's because they're trying to give misa, and you'll only give them over the head, you'll give them malchus. So malchus instead of misa, that's no comparison. That's called iyat yochel azima, you wouldn't accept it. But over here, they're not attempting to give einish misa, they're just trying to make the guy a cholo. So if you'll be mazim them, you give them malchus, that's called eidishat yochel azima. You yotze the din with that. That's one day in Tosfos. That since you do give a reasonable punishment, that's called eidishat yochel azima. Then the other day in Tosfos is not so. The other day in Tosfos is as follows. How did the Gemara know in Bava Kama in the Sanhedrin that there is such a din? That whenever you cannot mete out the punishment of Kasha Zomam, that you have no right to accept the testimony in the first place. How did the Gemara know there's such a din? The Tosfos says from the Mashmoras HaParsha, that the Torah says witnesses come and testify, and the Hinei Yecheka Hoed, if you're Mazim, so the mashmoris is you can only accept testimony in the first place if it can possibly lead up to kasha zaman. But if you have four cases that are exceptions to the rule that never get kasha zaman, so they don't need eidishat yochel azimah, so the whole rule doesn't apply there. Yeah. Those are the 2 days in Tosfos. That's the fundamental machlokes with nafkaminas ledina.
Reuven.
Yeah.
I have to pay Reuven.
Yeah, the two witnesses together split up the $100. I pay 50 and he pays 50 and we give it to Reuven. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To Mammon and to Malchus and to Nisa. Yeah, only these four cases now. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe this is going to be a little complicated, this, so maybe we'll have to save it for the next time. Okay. Next week we'll talk. Next week is, we'll say Purim Torah. Okay. Okay. In this week's Sedra, we read about the Trumas HaMishkan, that the people had to donate all the different materials that were necessary for the Asiyas HaMishkan. So one of the materials was Tcheles. So the there is a din in Tzitzis, you're supposed to have Tcheles, but the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim. What if you have Tzitzis and you don't have Tcheles? Everybody has. For many generations, for several centuries, we have had tzitzis without tcheles, and we assume la halacha that the tcheles is not in the akevus. You yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion.
Because you don't know
if you have tcheles in lavan, then you have the mitzvah bishleimusa. If you have lavan, you don't have tcheles, so it's a kiyama mitzvah shalom bishleimusa. What about the big de kuhune? What if you make big de kuhune, you won't have any tcheles? So that's a beferish tosefta that there's no machloki satanoin. If you don't have tcheles, the big de kuhune is puzzle, and if the kohanim do the avodah without big de kuhune, the avodah is puzzle. So that's why over 100 years ago there was a famous Chassidish Rebbe, the Radzina Rebbe.
Yeah.
He was chalashing for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt. He wanted to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So he traveled specially to Italy. He knew there was a big aquarium there. He went to study all the different fish to try to identify which is the chalazim. Because the Gemara and the Rambam seem to say that the trailers must come from the chalazim. If it comes from any other source, it's not acceptable, right?
Actually, you move. So he has colors from vegetables. You know.
From a vegetable, Mara says from Kloilon. There's a vegetable, indigo. Yeah. Indigo comes from a vegetable, and the Gemara says that's the same color as Tchelus. So the Gemara says there used to be fakers. Tchelus was always very expensive. There used to be fakers who would sell this indigo. The Orach writes that Kloilon is indigo. So they used to sell this imitation Tchelus because that was more easily available. The tchelus from the chalazim was very difficult to get, so it was highly expensive. The indigo was much cheaper. So the Gemara says they used to sell the imitation, they used to fool the people.
Don't they have the rough quote in the book? But I remember reading that they never wore tzitzis outside. Because they were apostles, they were not legamre kosher, because he didn't have
tchelus
from chalazim. I read in the book.
Not sure.
I'm not sure. I bring it to you.
Okay.
No, you have it, the book here.
Okay. So this is a famous maisa that the Radzina Rebbe was interested in hastening the coming. He writes in his svarim. He wrote three svarim on Chelus. So he wrote, he wanted to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So he was going to force the Rabbanu Shalom. He was going to prepare things in advance for the Beis Hamikdash. He wanted to prepare the big Beikuna. So he was preparing for the Chelus. So he went to search out which is the halos. The Meister, he came to the conclusion that it should be the squid. That the squid fish shoots out that black dye. So he thought that that's the halazar and that's the trelas. And he wrote a whole sefer, but the Ruba de Ruba of the Rabbanim did not hardly anybody. The Rabbanim didn't accept it. There were tens of thousands of Hasidim before the Second World War. They used to wear the Radzina trelas. And now also there are many, many. They made a factory again in Eretz to make the trelas the same way they did at that time. But most of the Rabbanim and most of the scholars did not accept his opinion. And now the new trelas that they have is taka the same color as indigo. Because the Gemara says that they're exchangeable. You can make a mistake. And the Gemara says the thing that you can make a mistake with is klo'ilon. The orach is a dictionary. The Dorach writes on klo'ilon. He says indigo belag. It's called indigo. It's indigo. We know what color it is. It's a color of blue. Okay, that's what. So how many... And it's from an animal that lives in the Mediterranean. So how many animals are there that live in the Mediterranean that historically 2,500 years ago they used to get blue? So there's only one animal. There's only one. So that's how they identified what it was. And in the Midrashim, the word chalazon is used to mean a snail with a shell. It's a worm inside with a shell on top. So that's why they found this. It's not such a big discovery. They just identified that it must be this snail. So we know that 2,000-3,000 years ago, the goyim used to use that snail to squeeze it out and get this blue color. So that's the new trailer that they're selling now in Arizona.
Far Adumim, we were there visiting. They caught it. They showed a video about it.
A lot of us join us on March 5th for the CM, please.